I think I may be narrowing down on my little culprit that piles bones under the hood of my truck. Last night I went out and, the moon, notice the moon last night. It's real yellowish and orangey and pretty. But I was standing out there in the driveway and I heard something behind me. It's never good to be standing out past your porch and hear something behind you, especially when you live out that way. And it sounded like something crawling, and I thought, oh, that's wonderful, you know. And so, you ease around, you watch, and I see these two little ears come up. And then this little gray and white face peek up over this on the edge of the porch. It's a possum. It's a possum, a medium-sized possum. And he sneaked around, and so I eased back across the porch and stood there and stood real still, and he'd look up, and he, they don't see real well. So if you stand real still, and then he started walking around, and I let him walk. And I thought, I wanted to see if he'd go under that pickup, and I thought, I think I may be finding my little culprit right here. And for those of you who may not remember or know, I started out one morning, and there was a pile of bones underneath on my engine cover, and they fell down and went through my radiator, and they hit the fan blade and tore my truck up pretty good. And some little critter, so that might be my critter. I'm going to watch him. I don't want to accuse an innocent possum, but he was made me suspicious. And so he was sneaking around the porch, and I just watched him a little while and thought, you just go under that truck. Don't you do it. I don't know. Do possums do that? Will they pile stuff up like that? Yep. I know that we have ringtails and all that stuff that'll do it, but I didn't know if a possum would do it for sure. So they, that may be the little culprit. Anyway, every morning when I go out, I have to raise the hood and check my pickup, make sure there's not another pile of bones up under there. So we're going to Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to deal with verses 13 through 25 in the New Living Translation today. It just really reads good in that. We're going to talk about, we'll look at what he said to do, and then we're going to look at how we get it done. And this is what's left out of so many messages and teachings when it comes to Scripture. We're told so often, most of my life, and before I was doing this and going through seminary and all that kind of stuff, you were told, here's thus saith the Lord. But you'd sit there and say, that's great, I agree with you, God, I'm with it. But how do I do that? What's going on in me that makes me think this way, do that way? And how do I do what you want me to do? So we're going to talk, really hit that hard. We do that every Sunday. We're going to hit it this Sunday too. But in Galatians 5, beginning with verse 13, it says, you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love, for the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out and beware of destroying one another. And so, don't let me just, I know there's a lot and I'll tend to read fast so we can get it all in, but we're going to zero in on some of this, and he said this is where you've got to be, and then we're going to try to answer how do we get there, and how do we live this way. He said, don't use your freedom to serve yourself, is what he's saying, and then the whole law can be summed up in one command, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you're dividing and devouring one another, watch out, beware of destroying one another. And he said, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. And we all hear that. We say, yes, I want to do that. Then the next question, really, if we're honest with ourselves, is how? How do I do that? Well, what's going on in me that makes me so cantankerous in the first place? And we all want to do it, right? We want the Holy Spirit to guide our lives. Then we ask ourselves, well, how do I get that done? And he says, let the Spirit guide your lives, and you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. And the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. So there's the problem there. We're born with a sinful nature. We wrestle with it all of our lives. And what he's saying is the Holy Spirit and our sinful, and if you read another translation, it says carnal nature, they battle against each other. They're always at war. What I want versus what God wants. What my flesh wants me to do versus what God wants me to do. And we're at war. That's why we sin. Sometimes it's overpowering. We just give into it. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you're directed by, you are directed by the Spirit, you're not under obligation to the law of Moses. Okay. Then he says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. And so he names them. It's not all the things that we do, but he names a bunch of things. He said, when you're following your sinful nature, you give into it, there's going to be sexual immorality and impurity and lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division. Don't you wish he'd just stop? Is it covered us all yet? And then he talks about envy and drunkenness. And nobody in here, why do I need to say it? Nobody in here has been envious, have they? Has anybody ever, no drunkenness. Nobody in here has ever been drunk in their life, have they? No, I didn't think so. Okay, and nobody's ever been to a wild party. Okay, well, okay, so maybe Pad, but anyway. And just wild parties. And he said, other sins like these. And he said, let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Does everybody hear this? This doesn't say anyone who's done this in their past and repented of it. No, he says, if this is your lifestyle, is what he's saying. He says, living. If anyone living that sort of life, so anybody that tells you they're a Christian, and yet they're doing these things as a matter of their lifestyle. They're not repenting of it. He said, they're not going to enter the kingdom of God. That's pretty serious business. That's eternal life we're talking about. All of us can mess up when we will. And everybody sins. It says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But listen to me. There's a difference between that and just living this kind of life all the time. And he's I'm talking about quarreling, jealousy. He's even saying if you're jealous all the time, something's wrong. The Holy Spirit's not in control of that. And an outburst of anger, I don't know. Does that ever scare any of you? When you have these temper fits and you just keep having them and you're saying, this is not God's will, is it? And he said, no, it's not. If that's your lifestyle, you've got to stop it. And he says, but contrary to that, to oppose that, to counter that, to defeat that, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in your life. And so he says, we go from all this quarreling and angry and sorcery and all this garbage stuff. He said, the Holy Spirit produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And he said, there's no law against these things. The law, he said, the law, the Old Testament, there's no law against that kind of thing. It's against all this other, but not that. And so he said, this has to prevail. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. He said, these things are going to have to prevail in your life. They're going to have to dominate. If you don't let that happen, these other things will dominate you. And so that's what we're called. And he calls us to this place to say, which is going to rule in our lives? Is it going to be given in to the flesh all the time? Or is it going to be letting the Holy Spirit have control so that you have these fruit of the Spirit? And it's not fruits. It's one. It's fruit, singular. In one fruit, there's all the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. All of this is in that one capsule, one fruit. And they said, those who belong to Christ Jesus have, and some of your translations will say crucified, and it says here, have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. And he said, since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. And that's enough. That you read before and after. Take this home and read this stuff and pray about it and say, wow, I've got to really You know, I need to really, we all do. Because from time to time, we'll catch ourselves drifting into some of these areas. That's the whole thing. Don't ever think you have something like this totally defeated, because you'll drift right back into it. The minute you think you've got it whipped, you'll go back. Does anybody here struggle with just losing it? You just lose your temper and you can't get it. And you're throwing things, you're saying things. Is that a battle? I've asked that before. Is it still a battle? Yeah, yeah. Okay. I won't look over here. Okay, and it's a wrestling match. Do any of you, when you get real upset, just got to have something to drink? And I mean, you just need that alcohol. Yeah. Do you ever turn to just, all of a sudden, you're just wanting to pick a fight with somebody for no reason? Anybody ever do that? You're just spoiling for a fight. You just wake up mad. Does anybody here wake up mad? Yeah, oh, thank you. You're such an honest guy there. Of course you do. All of us do from time to time. We just wake up wanting to we're just going to get somebody today. First person cross our path. They just better look out. So let's grab this and let's take a look. And we'll look at least three big things that tear us apart and give the enemy a stronghold. And he keeps working these sinful things in our lives. And this is important. So let me, I title this Experiencing Freedom in Christ. And our first point here is free from shame and anger. See, what causes this stuff? Why do I give into it? Let's talk about shame and anger for a minute. Did you know that most anger is shame-based? And you think about it. Many people have shame in their lives. They feel bad about themselves. And if you feel bad about yourself, then you feel bad about other people. Listen to me. If you don't like you, you won't like them. To understand how to apply this passage, this teaching here that we've just read, we need to look in ourselves and say, what's the root of all this stuff in me? Who am I mad at? Why am I living a life of shame? How many of you are right now don't really like yourselves deep down as much as you pretend to? Okay. There's things in our lives. There's things we've done, been done to us, we've given into. There's things we look back on and say, what was I thinking? Anybody ever had that thought? What was I thinking? But we did it. And a lot of times we can confess it and we walk away from it. And after a little bit, we're good to go. But others of us, we struggle with these things. It's like, and we hear that accusing voice in our hearts and minds. If you were a Christian, you wouldn't have said that. If you were a Christian, you wouldn't have done that. And we live with that. And then, and we have to see the person or persons we wounded or we said this to or did whatever to, and that just drives it deeper and deeper. So feeling bad about yourself will lead you to feel bad about other people. Listen to me. When somebody's being ugly to you, they're talking nasty to you, they're picking on you, you can almost guarantee they don't like themselves. People will say to me, Pastor, I just have trouble. I just have trouble loving people. And I listen to that, and we'll talk about that in a little while. And you know what inevitably we've got to do? We've got to bring it around and say, the reason you have trouble loving people is because you have trouble loving yourself. You don't like you. And it makes you contentious, and it makes you spiteful. And the things you're saying and doing to and about other people is how you feel about yourself. Friends, if we're going to help people as Christians, we can take this word and we can pound them over the head with it and say, thus saith the Lord, you're not to bite, devour one another. You're not to do this to each other. Don't be angry with each other. You're not going to help them. You're going to have to help them by sitting down with them and going to what's causing you to do this. If we're going to fulfill the Word of God, then know how to let the Word of God get to the root of a problem. And if I'm an angry person in my heart, I'm going to be angry at you. If I'm a loving person in my heart, if I'm at peace with God, I don't have much problem with you. So when people having issues with you, realize they're having issues with themselves. This needs to be said. I used to cover this kind of stuff and then kind of got away from doing this. But today's the day. Because we all around us, there's things to bring out, even the most minuscule, this minute stuff that we thought we dealt with. Our world's in trouble. Our country's in trouble. Churches are in trouble. And it's just stuff you what news can you listen to without it just being, you finally have to turn it off. I mean, you just get sick. And it just riles up all this stuff in you. And so, friends, listen, let God look in your heart and say, why am I saying and doing the things I do, and I've let it become a stronghold? Is it because I have shame in my life? Am I angry? Ephesians 4 says, don't let the sun go down. Don't go to bed angry. And how many of us have done that and violated that scripture? You just couldn't get it off your mind. Have you ever just laying there in bed and thinking of all the things you should have said to somebody? That's what makes me sometimes madder than anything else. It's after the fact, and then I think of all the smart stuff I could have said. But you don't think about it at the time. And then later, you come up with this whole bag of stuff. And it's like, oh, I hope I run into them again because I want to say this. And I'm going to say that. Anybody do that? Yeah, we all. That's common to all of us. And you're just standing in the shower and suddenly these brilliant comebacks come to you. And it's like, why didn't my mind engage? Because most of us, if our mind engages, our mouth has no problem. When you're in it, you're not thinking about it. But God says, don't even let the sun go down. Don't end your day angry. And yet we do that. Because see, if we lie there in bed and we mulch it over, it's just like mulching with your mower. You're not throwing it out the chute. You're turning it around and around and around and putting it right back in the ground of your mind. And so that's what going over these thoughts and thinking about what happened to us does. And we mulch it. And we mulch it. And we fertilize it with these continuing thoughts. And God says, somewhere that's got to stop. And let me tell you something. Listen. If you want to stop anger, know this. You've got to stop being angry with yourself. Stop accusing yourself. Stop letting the devil accuse you. If you've confessed your sins before God, what does it say? God is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And you're going to have to let go and turn it loose. Friends, I look back and think of the things and in my life that I said to people and some things I've done to people. And if I think on it enough, I'll get mad at myself, but I don't want to admit that, so I'll find a way to get mad at somebody else. That's what we do. And we divert that. If you're mad at yourself, admit to God, I'm mad at myself. I hate myself. I don't like myself. I look in the mirror, and I see this person who puts on a front for everybody else. And then, you know, we put on the go-to-church front, or meet people in public front, and then there's this other person, and we're all so afraid. We're so afraid that sooner or later we're going to get discovered, and they're going to see who we really are. Well, why don't you just let it out? If you don't want to get discovered, reveal yourself. I've said this many, many times. If you don't want people to find out something in your life, then tell on yourself. What can people say when you say, yes, I did that? You just killed all the rumors. You just shot to pieces. They can't gossip anymore because you told on yourself. I keep saying, be transparent, be transparent, be transparent. Go ahead. And that doesn't mean you got to tell every little detail or anything, but somebody says, did you ever cuss somebody out? Yep. Did you ever do something sexually wrong in your life? Yeah. Oh. Just killed all my rumors. And then you can go on, and I hate it. It's only by God's grace that I'm free from it. Let's talk about this anger just a bit more. I can't take all the time on it. I want to say this to you. Regardless of where your anger comes from, shame or whatever it is, something happened to you, something you did to others, something, it won't stay contained. Listen to me. The reason, one of the main reasons God says don't let the sun go down on your anger is because you can't contain anger. The harder you try to hold anger in, the more it squirts out between the fingers. The emotional fingers of your mind. You ever grabbed anything? Grab some Jell-O and squeeze it. Can you hold it? Anger's like that. Anger's like that. You can't contain it. And here's the problem. I may get mad. Let's just say, for instance, that I'm mad at somebody in government. That's pretty easy today, right? So I'm mad at somebody in government. And I just really get upset over it. I mean, I'm letting it really mess with me. I can't talk to those people. I can't tell them directly what I want to tell them. And so I think that I can hold that anger in and keep it focused on that one person. And you know what reality tells me? The first person who does anything that even makes me think of that person, that even resembles them in any way, their voice, their pattern, attitude, whatever, guess what I do? I unload on that other person instead of who I'm angry at. That's why so many marriages get so hurt. So many couples tear each other apart. You're taking out on each other inappropriate feelings. I don't want this just to be a counseling message, but sometimes we need to look at ourselves and say, is it worth it? Is it worth me letting this shame? Why are you ashamed, by the way? You're created in God's image. You say, well, yeah, but I messed up that image. You don't know. I had this, you know, this affair, or I did this, or what? Okay. Are you still having it? No. You mean the blood of Jesus cleanses everybody from all their sins except the one you committed? And if you were part of a denomination like I used to be, well, you know, that there was a sin that if you committed it, it was not forgivable in that denomination. And what was it? Divorce. If you murdered somebody and confessed it, you'd be forgiven. But anybody that had a divorce could not serve. They couldn't do anything. They weren't allowed on any. I mean, you weren't allowed to do anything. You were put off. Are you kidding me? It's like, are you up here condoning that? No. Now, I'm not condoning divorce or anything else, but I'll tell you what I am saying. Isn't it amazing how so often we can strain it, like Jesus said, we strain at a gnat and swallow a camel? And I just want to ask you, have you been exposed to something like that that's made you put an emphasis on a certain sin over another when Jesus said if you commit one, you're guilty of them all? If you've told a lie to somebody on the phone, isn't that the same in God's eyes as that affair or whatever else you did? In God's eyes? Or that divorce or whatever it is? You with me? It's man that qualifies sin, not God. He said, you commit one, you're guilty of all. And so when you confess one, you're cleansed of it and all. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from what? All sin. I'm going to say to you as we move to this next point, stop blaming yourself. Stop blaming others. Get off your own back. Stop being mean to yourself. And every time you turn to something else, when you turn to a substance, and you turn to alcohol, or you turn to sex, or whatever it is, you are being mean to yourself. You think you're helping yourself. You're not. You're abusing yourself. Your body is God's temple, so stop beating it up. Instead of going to bed mad, why don't you learn to go to bed glad? Glad that God forgives you. Glad you're still alive today. Like I said earlier, I get to feeling a little sorry for myself sometimes, and then I turn on the TV and I look at all those wounded warriors out there, and they don't have any arms or legs. I saw one that didn't have any nose. Burned. And it's like, you feel better about yourself, son? You think your problems are big? No. 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 So let's get your eyes off yourself. Isn't it amazing? If you stand in a mirror, listen to me. If you stand in a mirror, how many of you have done this? And the more you look at yourself in the mirror, the more flaws you see. The other day I was looking in the mirror, and I guess the light was just right from those little lights above the mirror. And for the first time in my life, it's like, I think I see an age spot on my side of my face. I did. And it just freaked me out. I thought, oh God, I'm looking old. And there I am, and I went and got the flashlight. I shouldn't tell you this, but I should. It's true. We all do it. And I was shining the light into the mirror, so it bounced back. Oh God! And it was like, there's an age spot coming on your face. Yeah, the next step is the grave. It's over now. You know, you're just one step away. But then I realized, cut the light off, and I stood there, and I couldn't see it. Not amazing? You'll stand there. You ever had a little bump on your face and you stand in the mirror and that bump grows and covers your whole face? You're thinking everybody in the world is looking. And you know what we do? Here's the worst thing about our human nature. We draw attention to it. We'll say, can you see this bump? And the person's going, no. Right there. And then they get right there, and we almost have to make a bump. We squeeze it a little bit so it'll be bigger. You see, oh yeah, I see it. And it confirms to us, you know what? It gave us what? It gave us what we wanted, in that there's a flaw in ourselves. Look how human we are with these things. So now I'm not going to turn the lights on when I'm looking at my face. I can shave just fine with the blinds open. And I don't see any age spots. And I'm going to be like the rest of human race, right? If I pretend it's not there, it isn't. Isn't that the way we do life? Let's just pretend it doesn't exist, and so it doesn't. Anyway, I'm rambling a little bit. Instead of going to bed mad, go to bed glad. Be glad that God takes care of you. Be glad that He loves you, and be glad that He accepts you. And be glad that He forgives you and that He is fully capable of taking care of your problems. Let me hit something here that I see all the time in my counseling work. All the time. Do I see anger? Yes. Do I see shame? Yes. And most of it is, you're ashamed that you did something 40 years ago, 10 years ago, or 10 minutes ago. It's over now. Let it go. It's time to bring everything in your life to the foot of the cross and leave it there. Good or bad. But this other one, friends, I see it in politics. I see it in ministry. I see it in churches. Everywhere in our whole society, in our world, we see this one. And this second point is, Jesus wants to make us free from blame. From ourselves being blamed. If you're feeling guilty, you're feeling blamed, read Romans 8:1. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. None. Let's talk about the blame that we place on others. Every time I listen to some of our political people speak, they never assume any personal responsibility. It's somebody else's fault. I hear people in church work, and it's somebody else's fault. Nobody ever takes the bull by the horns. The buck stops here. They like to say those kind of things, but they don't live up to it. Let's talk about the blame thing, the blame game that we've all played, and we're being free from blame. Did you know that every time you blame, listen to me, every time you blame someone else for your problems, you are giving them control over you? Did you know that? If I'm standing here and I say, well, so-and-so, whoever, you caused me to say that. You caused me to do that. I have just said that you're more powerful than I am, and you have the power to control my life. If I blame somebody for me doing something, me taking a particular action, having a particular feeling, I'm saying that you have the power to cause that in me, so you're more powerful than I am. And frankly, I don't like that thought. Do you? And you need to look at it that way. Blame is giving other people the power to control you. And I'll tell you something else blame does. Every time I blame somebody, it makes me a victim. It makes me a victim. I can't help what I'm doing. I couldn't help I acted that way. I can't help I'm blind. Why? Because they said, they did. Have you ever been involved or friends with somebody and all they did was blame you or somebody else for every problem in their life? Everything, it didn't matter. It was somebody else's fault. Just like we see all around us today. You can't be in a relationship with somebody who never assumes personal responsibility. Is everybody with me? You ever been around somebody and you try to say, gosh, you're angry today. Well, you're angry. You ever had that happen? And everything you say is because of you? If you're in that kind of relationship, if you're in that kind of friendship, I'm going to give you some good, sound advice. It's not only biblical, this is Tony advice from being the age I am and what I've been through. Run. Go back and watch Forrest Gump again. Run, Forrest, run. Really, if you're dating someone or you involve someone, you're friends with someone, but they continually blame you, it's your fault. Well, that expression on your face made me say that. Really, you want me to remove my face? Their tone of voice. Anybody ever had that one? Tone of voice. Your tone of voice. When somebody tells me, Tony, your tone of voice is causing this, my tone of voice gets worse. That's just a warning. Don't tell me my tone of voice caused it. Because then my tone of voice gets worse. What? What do you mean my tone of voice is doing it? And I said, that's just not going to do it. I've been around people, and every time you said something or you try to address an issue, you say, you know, you're angry today, are you depressed? Well, you're depressed. Run, Forrest, run. You stay away from people who do that. But friends, when you're doing that, don't make yourself a victim. Don't give other people the power to control you. Blaming someone else says they control your life. They can control your life more than God. Do you see it? And the only way to defeat blame is to start taking personal accountability for your own words, your own actions. Look, if I get up here and mispronounce a word, I say something dumb, I'm just going to have to face it. I can't say, you caused it. Have I ever said anything over all these 40 years of bringing this word that later I thought, I can't believe I said that? Sure. I pray it's not often, but have I? Yeah. I've said things, I go back and think, did that come out of my mouth? That's not what I meant to say. And I have a choice. I can either go back the next week and say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that and make excuses. Or I can go back and just say, you know, last week I said so-and-so. I'm sorry. That's not what I wanted to say, but I said it. And go on. Which would you think is more honorable? Which would you, if you heard me do that and I made a mistake, which would you honor more? Me making excuses as to why it happened, or me just to get up in front of you and say, I made a mistake and I mispronounced, or I said that and I'm sorry. That's right. When you face up to yourself, But you're not, listen to me, you're not going to face up to yourself, and you can't take personal responsibility if you feel bad about yourself. See how this hooks together, all ties together? If you feel shame and you're mad all the time, you're definitely not going to take responsibility for anything. The only way to defeat blame is to begin taking that personal responsibility for your words and actions. And don't let somebody else, listen to me, don't let somebody else, regardless of the relationship you're in, don't let somebody else put all the blame off on you all the time. Everybody with me? Run. Get out of it. And if you can't get out of it, then let's all sit down and talk about it. I need to close this. So let me wrap this up. There's one other thing I want to hit here, and that's guilt. How many of you feel guilty about something today? Anybody? Okay, thank you. Appreciate it. Something that you've said or done, you feel guilty about. There's a whole bunch of us probably doing this. It's just hard to raise your hand. Everybody in this room, I will say this, everybody in this room probably has a good, more than one reason to say we feel guilty about something. If you're carrying that guilt today, I want to tell you a word from God. He loves you. He loved you when you were doing what you did. He loved you when you were saying what you said. And the guilt you're carrying right now, God has already released. You just don't want it. You don't know it. You haven't accepted it yet. God has released you. He forgave you as a Christian when it happened. As a matter of fact, listen to me. Whatever it is you feel guilty about, God knew it was going to happen before you did. And He loved you anyway. Think about it. Jesus Christ died on that cross for you, knowing at what point in your life, what day, what hour, what minute, what second, you would commit whatever act you committed. And He still died for you because He loves you that much. He rose again for you to let you know your eternal life is secure. The blood of Jesus cleanses you, and you don't have to walk around here feeling guilt or shame anymore. It happened. Give it to God. Let it go, because God has removed your sins from you as far as the east is from the west. He has cast them into the depths of the sea. Guilt is a fear of punishment. When I feel guilty, I'm afraid I'm going to be punished. I'm afraid I'm going to, you know, I'm not going to be socially or spiritually accepted. That, well, other people can judge me, but God doesn't. Jesus took my judgment. Jesus took my guilt, and He nailed it to the cross. And friends, I don't have to be in here feeling shame. I don't have to be angry anymore. I don't have to choose that course. I can choose the course of Christ. I can say, Lord Jesus, I sinned. Others sinned against me. I have reason to be mad, but I give it to You. I want to go to bed happy and at peace with the Lord. I don't want to live in shame. And God, take this guilt. I really screwed up my life, and I don't know what to do. And God's saying, You can't, but I can. And my blood cleanses you. And Jesus is saying to all of us, like the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery and dragged in front of Him, where are those who condemn you? And she said, He says, is there anyone here to condemn you? No one, Lord. And He said, neither do I condemn you. Go and leave this life of sin. I'm not condemning you. Get up, woman. Walk away from here. You're forgiven and you're free. And that's His word to us this morning. Let it go. Turn it loose. Take a deep breath and say, my fault, their fault, nobody's fault. It just is. But God is greater. Greater is Jesus in me than he that's in the world. I want to close this up here and say these few things. If you feel guilty, it'll cause you to be depressed. It'll cause you to commit more sin in some form or another, trying to medicate your depression. There's a big difference between guilt and conviction. Feeling guilty causes these things. Conviction is a moving of the Spirit to say, confess this thing, and the Lord will forgive you. let go of this thing and God will cast it into the sea. Guilt destroys and alienates. The conviction of the Lord is there to restore you and to heal you and to free you, to give you comfort and lead to love and acceptance and forgiveness. I want to close with this. As you let God deal with the shame and the anger, all this stuff, the guilt, the blame, He's setting you free to do something. You know what it is? Jesus is freeing you. He wants you to be free to enjoy Himself, to enjoy Christ. He wants you to be joyful in your relationship. This is God's ultimate goal in all of this. And listen to me. God wants you to have joy in your relationship with Christ. Do you? He wants you to have joy and experience in your Christian life as an adventure. Why is Christianity presented as so boring? It's an adventure. Maybe it's because we've been to boring church. You ever been to a boring church? The pastor gets up and talks like that. It's just boring. We will now turn to page so and so, and we will sing three stanzas of this hymn. An out-of-tune piano starts, an organ that blows everybody away. And I know, maybe I'm pushing that a little hard. Christianity doesn't have to be boring. Christianity is here. We come to worship God. But I get out and I see Jesus when I'm looking at that little possum on the porch, or I'm looking at a deer out in the field, or flowers out there somewhere in a meadow. Aren't you? Christianity happens everywhere. God made it all. I can be sitting up in a tree or just walking across the ground, and Christ is happening. God is happening. He's here. He's everywhere. He's all around. All of it. You know, isn't it amazing? All these things grow up and not down. Why do we walk with our head down? Why do we want to act like something that we're not? You notice every living thing out there grows up towards God? And human beings always want to look down? Even the creation of nature knows where their power and life comes from. And so should we. Stop walking with your head down and your heart in pain. Why don't you take a look at God and His ultimate forgiveness in Christ, His eternal salvation, His joy that He wants to pour. Start enjoying God. Enjoy the Christian life as an adventure. Be joyful in just being who Jesus made you to be. You're not perfect. Can you rejoice in that? Can you rejoice that I'm a human being live on the earth that God put here, and I have my frailties and my mistakes and my sins, and yet Jesus loves me? This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Be joyful in the power of God. Be joyful that God will never leave you or forsake you. Be joyful in being free in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There's that old song. Remember? I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my... Yeah. I better not go any further. I don't want to turn everybody off with my singing here, but... Hey... Take a little joy with you today. Your sins are forgiven. Go. That's what he said to her. That's what he's saying to us all. Leave the guilt and the blame and all that stuff, the anger. Put it right here at the cross. Let's go. Let's get rid of this. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you. Take the anger, the shame that so many feel this morning. God, take that. Take it out of our lives. Take it. We don't want it. We're tired of living with it. Take it from us, Lord. free us from it. God, take the blame. Take blaming other people for our own mess ups. Blame it all. Never. God, just help us right here and now just to be accountable to you and learn it's okay to just speak the truth. It's okay to accept responsibility. As a matter of fact, that's where all the forgiveness and all the healing comes, Lord, is when we can say to you, I did it, I said it, I don't care what they said or did, I still chose to do it, that's my doing, and God forgive me, I'm accountable for it, and I'll repent to you. And we can hear those words of yours, son, your sins are forgiven, daughter, your sins are forgiven. God, take the guilt from our lives. Yeah, we messed up. Yes, we sinned. Yes, we did this, we did that, we said this, we said that. You knew it all along, you knew we'd do it when you created us, and yet you still did it. Then we let it go. Because the blood of Jesus cleanses us, and greater is Jesus in us than he that's in the world. Oh God, thank you that your word says God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Jesus will not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh God, let us walk out of here today, not with all these old nasty things, not quarreling and doing all the things that Galatians talks about, but now seeing why these things happen. Let us walk out of here with the joy of the Lord in our hearts, rejoicing in Jesus, because that's who it's all about and always will be. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being here.